News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The ballots are in, the votes are counted, and Nigel Farage has won the most bizarre election in British political history. Our reporter Sarah Madden was on the ground at the circus, Coastal Town, during the count last night, and she sent us this report.
It's 9:53 in Clacton-on-Sea, and the last few voters are still arriving to the polling stations.
Because of my work, I just want to vote, so I don't want to lose my opportunity to vote here.
44% of the electorate cast their votes in one of the most peculiar elections in British living memory. So who did you vote for today?
Bin Face.
A fact as much on show at the official count centre as anywhere else.
Yeah, we got bins, we've got dogs, we've got plastic ducks. We've managed to get into the press enclosure where we created a media scrum because our main participant here, Ash, wears a bin and a tail. So I think we have become the only sighting of a bin, even though we are no way officially associated with Count Binface.
And why are you such fans of the bin?
Because he's fabulous. And because we've never seen anything quite like it, and how about them apples?
There's no sign of Nigel Farage, the man who triggered this by-election, in the opening hours of the count. But some of the 32 other candidates are keen to sit in on the ceremony.
Yeah, my name's Andy Earlham. I'm one of the independent candidates.
And why did you decide to run in this election, Andy?
Because I think fascism is starting to creep into Britain. Mm. And I think Reform is a very dangerous party. Mm. And people need to stand up to it.
With so many on the ballot, the longest ever in British political history, candidates are on every corner in Clacton. I run in to the monster-raving loony party, finishing up their curry dinner, and somehow become their cameraman.
Oh, it's a video. Sorry. Oh, God.
I am howling Lord Hope, the leader of the official monster-raving loony party.
And I'm Nick the Flying Brick, the Shadow Minister for the Abolition of Gravity.
Well, I'm Baron von Thunderclap. I'm the Minister for Saving the Dodo.
We put three candidates in, so we've got a chance of becoming first, second and third, and we don't know that we haven't yet.
At the well-worn Wetherspoons on the Clacton seafront, locals are giving a sigh of relief and reflecting on the circus their coastal town recently became.
It's a complete farce. And it's Nigel Farage's ego to cover up his financial dealings.
I mean, it's been wonderful. We've seen the ugly Reform bus going back and forth. The Reform bus nearly hit my sister going down the road. She nearly got killed by the blaring face of Nigel Farage.
What a way to die.
Which was, yeah, that would be a very unfortunate thing to end up on a tombstone. But it would not be fun.
Binface is, he's a good candidate. He's done well and he's got some policies.
Yeah, it's just a bit of British fun really, isn't it? We know Farage is going to win, but Binface, it would only happen in Britain. And that's kind of what's a bit funny about it.
Arriving at the count in the early hours of the morning was, of course, Count Binface himself.
I may win, someone else may win, we shall see. Of course, if he does win, there's a very strong possibility that there might be another by-election in a few weeks' time, and we might all be back again. We could all hang out. That'd be lovely.
Later, Mr. Farage cancels his attendance for security reasons, though he maintains that he will win by an overwhelming majority.
And he'll still have a parliamentary investigation into his finances, so it's solved nothing, and it's cost the people of Clacton £250,000. So it's a complete farce. It's a waste of time.
Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. We're going to get rid of the HMOs. Lots of problems here in Clacton, but it's a fantastic town.
I think whatever happens, it's slightly humiliating that he spent his whole summer campaigning hard against a bin.
Farage will be back in tomorrow and then they can start the process of removing him again. So,
do you think that's what will happen?
100%.
And is that the right thing?
100%.
And of course, it was one of the best ever performances for that bin. 9,000 votes accruing to Count von Binface. Maybe I'm... No, sorry, Count, he doesn't have the von. It's Count von Thunderclap who has the von. He's just Count Binface. And so back to Clacton, because, of course, as you will have heard, Nigel Farage has been re-elected to his former seat in a by-election where he received 22,000 votes. Now, that 22,000 is on a turnout in and around the 40%. Previously, he received 21,000 votes in a much larger turnout. So it does mean that his total vote and his share of the vote has increased, albeit he was facing candidates like Count Binface and Count von Thunderclap and woke Trump Carsey, etc., etc., etc. I'm joined by former government special advisor James Price. James, let's start with the bit of excitement in respect of the Count Centre, because the normal thing is that the victorious candidate returns to the Count Centre. In this instance, Nigel Farage says that he was warned away.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me back again. It's great to be back 2 days in a row. I really appreciate it. There are often amusing scenes at British general elections, particularly when these sorts of loony characters decide to stand against the incumbent prime minister. And you know, the first stage on the route to getting hold of the nuclear codes and command of the fifth biggest economy in the world is standing in a kind of leisure centre somewhere next to a man dressed as a badger or a fox, or next to a bloke dressed as a bin, and all these sorts of things. So it's a sort of bit of harmless British eccentricism normally. But I think that this would have been such a kind of clown show with 35 different candidates all jostling on the stage and all of the rest of it, that I imagine that for all the people saying, oh, it's poor form not to have turned up, you get to avoid the optics of that. Of course, if it was more serious and there was a credible threat or risk, as some people are now saying, on that count itself, well, that itself would go and prove some of what Farage has been claiming, that he's not been receiving enough protection from the British state. And when we know that there is some odd announcement that was made recently by counter-terrorism police reopening an investigation into a potential attack on a property that he was staying at, linking it to the murder of the Reform politician Anne Widdecombe very recently, then it all seems a lot darker than just the, oh, he didn't want to be standing in a sports centre next to a bin.
Although, as always, the truth is hard to get to, because on the one hand, Nigel Farage is saying that the police came to him and said there is a credible threat. A number of journalistic sources, including The Guardian, are saying, we asked the police and they say they know nothing about this credible threat.
I think this is a small version of quite this whole by-election, which is that people can see into it whichever side they probably wanted to see in the first place, in the same way that you're likely to believe Nigel Farage if he's told this because you don't trust that the police have done a good job of looking after him, you will. If you think that this is just a weaselly way of getting out of a bad photograph, you'll believe that too. In the same way that people who think that this is a great result for Farage because his result has gone up and he's got probably an awful lot of very up-to-date VIs or voter intentions and the kind of data that you might need for a subsequent by-election or general election will think this is a good result. And other people who don't like him will say, ha ha ha, a man dressed as a bin got a whole quarter of the vote. So it's one of those optical illusions where you can sort of see either side of it if you want to.
And of course, he has returned to exactly the position that everybody predicted that he would return to, which is that this is evidence that the actual people of Britain and particularly of Clacton are uninfluenced by the witch hunt against him, and he returns cleansed by the electoral process.
Yes, and again, that will hold if you're sympathetic to him. But if you believe that one of these various committees inside Parliament should have the final say so of this, then you think it will change nothing. And that's what the main party's responses have been. Oh, he can't hide from justice forever, and all the rest of it. But I think that it goes to the tension perhaps inside the British Constitution we mentioned yesterday. This idea of, well, you have parliamentary sovereignty and supremacy, but does that get cancelled out by an expression of the popular will, given that it was the popular will in a referendum on the European Union that launched Farage to ever greater heights some might call it fame or notoriety 10 years ago. There is that tension there. And there's a guy called John Wilkes, who was an MP in the 18th century, who I think, again, I mentioned very briefly yesterday, he kept being returned by his constituents to Parliament, and Parliament kept voting to say, no, we're not having you. And to one point, they even voted the person who came second to be able to take that seat. And it led to one of those kind of formative constitutional crises. That won't happen now, obviously, but it will, I think, have people thinking, yes, who do I most put my faith into here? Is it the people of Clacton, or is it Parliament itself and one of these committees to let me know who I think is in the right if I'm not already off the fence?
Now, explain one thing to me at the heart of all of this, because this all hinged on the monies that was given to Nigel Farage by Christopher Harborne, now known as Chakrit Sekunrit, and the whether or not they needed to be investigated by Parliament. Nigel Farage's contention being that by virtue of the fact that he wasn't in Parliament at the point of the receipt of the monies, therefore it didn't need to be. There was a time in British politics where if it was discovered that the single largest donor to your party had handed you 5 million quid in cash as a reward for the political work that you had done, that would be career-ending regardless of whether or not you had declared it to the parliamentary committees that you were meant or not meant to declare it to. How come it has had so little effect on Nigel Farage?
I think it's because it's all these sorts of things are sort of priced in with your assumption of him, and much the same way with Donald Trump. You know, he's Donald Trump and Farage are similar figures in lots of ways, and they're very Marmite characters. You either love them or you hate them. And I think that the British public, maybe this is true across Europe as well, I think they assume a very high level of corruption in general from politicians. You know, my parents would always say to me when I was working in government, you know, they just kind of assumed that everybody was on the take and there was brown envelopes full of cash. I mean, in a way, my God, I wish there were, because I'd have a bigger house. And, you know, and actually, it's remarkably uncorrupt in all sorts of ways. And lobbying is not even very effective and so on. So I think that it depends whether you want to believe that, politicians are easily bought or not. And actually, when you're in government, the civil services are paranoid about not letting political figures meet with business leaders without there being an official record and all of the rest of this stuff. Again, you could probably go back in history and realize that a lot of politicians had rich sponsors. And whether that, again, is preferable to there being a state or taxpayer funding for political activities is another thing. Of course, the big parties wouldn't want to get into that, not least the governing party, the Labour Party, because a huge amount of their money comes from trade unions. And there's not been any, you know, any restrictions of that.
But the sheer brazenness, I mean, whatever about Christopher Harborne giving 2/3-ish of the money to reform at one point in terms of its total funding, the notion that a politician is in a position where they can say publicly, this individual really liked the work that I did and thought I deserved a tip, so he gave me £5 million, and that doesn't have an immediate measurable impact on their electoral possibility, it indicates a fairly significant shift in how the electorate thinks, doesn't it?
It's a very good question. Again, I suppose you read into this what you want to. And Farage's test point was, well, let's see what my electorate think about it. He's been calling for a general election for, I think, at least a year or something now anyway, because of the Labour Party's performance. And so, like, OK, well, let's put up or shut up here and let's find out what people actually think about it. And I think perhaps, you know, you might, if you were a reform supporter, say this is a measure of how badly the economy is performing, how badly society is at the moment, that you're willing to take a chance on someone who is obviously deeply flawed, again, like has been happening in the United States for a while now.
James, thank you very much. James Price there, former government senior special advisor in the UK.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage, in association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk, conversation that counts.